Hey there, Rick Singeri of Vermont Edition. Just want you to know this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Vermont's state college system faces major challenges, fewer students, higher costs, and big changes, as we've been talking about for the last several months here on Vermont Edition in the higher education landscape. In fact, it's something that we've been thinking about and looking at for years, and so has the state college system, of course. But these colleges are a little bit different than some of the independent schools. They have this mission that they have to fulfill to benefit the state of Vermont by providing, quote, affordable, high-quality, student-centered, and accessible education, fully integrating professional, liberal, and career study consistent with student aspirations and regional and state needs. Not to mention the fact that there are about 2,000 people employed by the state college system. So how are state colleges adapting to the changing demographics? Today we're going to talk about the new plan the state college system recently released. It's a white paper, and the ways leaders in the system are thinking about these challenges. And we're joined by Jeb Spalding, Chancellor of the Vermont State College System, and Joyce Judy, President of the Community College of Vermont. Joyce Judy is also a member of VPR's Board of Directors. It's a pleasure to have both of you with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here.
Thank you, Jane.
So, Jeb Spalding, let me start with you, because you just wrote a white paper, a 25-page white paper, and you're thinking about how to secure the future of the state college system. What does that actually mean?
Well, the white paper is intended to sort of set the stage for a conversation to generate ideas on ensuring that the Vermont State Colleges are sound, strong, and relevant for the many, many years to come. One thing that may be different about us is it's not really a question of survival. It's a question of, are we going to be thriving?
Because you kind of have to be here?
Because, well, there are some differences between us. One, we operate as a system, which has some advantages. We do get state support. Now, we are tied with New Hampshire for the lowest level of state support in the country, and that has an effect on tuition. But if you were to try to generate the $30 million a year we get from the state off of endowment, that would be like a $500 million endowment. So that's an advantage that we do have.
Is that making lemons out of lemonade?
Well, it's just different than some of the independents. That's
no,
all.
But I mean, you've said that the legislature needs to the state government would basically need to double its yearly investment in the state college system to really make it strong. So yes, it's like having a large endowment, and yet still it's not allowing for low enough tuition for many Vermont in-state students to attend.
Yeah, we've done very well in recent years. Our state appropriation is 25% higher now than it was 4 years ago. But it doesn't really change the basic dynamics out there. And, it's one of the things that we point out in the white paper, which, by the way, a lot of people contributed to that white paper. And it's available at vsc.edu, I should say.
We have a link. And one of the interesting things is that people can come back to this white paper, because as you look at this project and get more input from other people, it's going to be changing. The project is going to be changing. And so that link is sort of alive.
Yes, it is. Yes. And we'll be visiting campuses and having digital Zoom conferences and so forth. But one of the points made in the white paper is that we cannot rely on large increases in state funding every year. That is my conclusion as chancellor. I believe it's shared by my board of trustees. And that means that, we can't wait for the cavalry to come in and rescue us. We have to take care of matters ourselves, and we will. We've already done a tremendous amount. We've been consolidating administrative services like accounting. We're just finishing a consolidated centralized payroll system. All our IT infrastructure is one for the entire system. So, and not to mention the unification of Northern Vermont University out of Johnson and Lyndon State Colleges. So we're doing a lot, and we need to keep doing more, because the world is challenging, and it's not just Vermont. It's any part of rural America that doesn't have a lot of immigration, and it's not just the small independents or the less selective public access institutions. It's even the Middleburys of the world are having to actually find out ways that they can become more efficient and not keep relying on increases in tuition.
Yeah, or find for-profit arms that can help sort of contribute some money to the institution in ways that that matriculating students aren't. And there are a lot of different ways that different schools around the country are trying to address the problems that so many are facing.
And I think that's important, Jane, is that what we're intending to do and have been intending to do and have been doing is being proactive. Hmm. So, you know, we know there are 25% fewer seniors in high school in Vermont this year compared to 10 years ago. That, if you're relying on that traditional customer base, it's just a lot smaller. But we also realize that there are 40% of our high school graduates that aren't going on to any post-secondary education, which limits their career, their economic prospects, and hurts the state's economic prospects. So, you know, I mean, probably the best model in the state college system or in the state of Vermont is CCV that is generating all kinds of new credentials and apprenticeships to serve a bigger audience.
Yeah. And so let me just repeat for people who are wondering, like, oh, I think I remember which ones are in the state college system, but which ones aren't. It's Castleton University, Northern Vermont University, which has campuses in Linden and Johnson, the 12 locations of the Community College of Vermont, and then Vermont Technical College, which includes both distance locations and residential campuses. And President Judy, you know, it's interesting because when we think about fewer students going on to higher education and perhaps some changing ideas around what a four-year degree is worth when you estimate the cost versus the benefit, and then how the Community College of Vermont fits into this picture. Maybe you could address how you think it sort of is both a little bit different but also part of the whole.
We are part of the whole. We're part of the system, but we are very different. We're just community colleges nationally, community colleges in New England, community college in Vermont. We were created to be something different. We actually were about to celebrate our 50th anniversary. So CCV has been around since the Governor Dean Davis days when he had the vision of how do you take and provide a college education to people very locally in a rural state. And so what's interesting about CCV is we serve just a huge diversity of students. And we think of our students as adults, whether they're 18 or 80. This year, our youngest college graduate was 17 and our oldest was 76. So, you know, people come to CCV for a variety of reasons, but I would say that they come for two primary reasons. The first is they want a job or more likely a better job, something that will – they might have been in the same – doing the same work for 15 years and have been passed over from promotions. They might have been hurt. We serve – every semester we serve about 400 veterans who are transitioning you know, back from a very structured military career to civilian life, and what are the skills that they can take with them. But we also are seeing more and more younger students, the traditional age students who are finding that it's very economical to take their first couple years at CCV and then transfer to the University of Vermont, transfer to the Vermont State Colleges, transfer to Champlain. We have very clear pathways so that students can save a tremendous amount of money on their first 2 years and then transfer. So we have been a college that we have really worked at trying to be very responsive. We are rooted in our 12 communities. And so how do we stay close to businesses and what our local communities need? That has been our mission. And as a result, communities change all the time. We are always changing.
You know, it's interesting in the higher education landscape in general and specifically within the state college system, one of the ways that schools are trying to differentiate themselves and stay afloat, I mean, hospitals are doing it too, is to make sure that there's not a duplication of resources. Right. And so, you know, this campus may be really good for these degree programs and this campus may be really focused on something else. For CCV, you know, in some ways, you're a school that aims to be something for everyone. You know, if you can take 17-year-olds who are doing 2 years toward a four-year degree or maybe even a master's and a doctorate, or some people who are just trying to get a certificate to change careers, or some people that just want to dabble and take a few classes in their 60s and 70s, is that a model that works in conjunction with other schools that are specializing, or is it too broad to be something for everyone?
No, I think it's our classrooms are incredibly rich. You know, it's interesting. I'll share a quick story. A few years ago, I was out on a walk in the evening and I met up with a neighbor who was a longtime superintendent. And he said to me, Joyce, I'm taking a class at CCV this year. And I said, you know, and you always wonder, is that going to be a good conversation or not? And he said, I just want to tell you, it's the best learning experience I've ever had. And he said, and he sort of summed it up. He said, because you have people who are 17 and 18 that have tremendous amount of energy, and are so eager to learn. And he said, then you have someone like me who I would hope has a lot of life wisdom, but can benefit by that young energy and that learning. And so our faculty are amazing at bringing out the richness of a really diverse community. And people, it's a unifying experience because people come to CCV with very different experiences. But once they're in the classroom, it's all about learning that topic.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm, and today we're talking about the way the Vermont State College system is thinking about how to secure stable footing in an unstable higher education future in this country, and specifically, of course, in Vermont. Just a reminder again, the state college system includes Castleton University, Northern Vermont University, both Lyndon and Johnson, the 12 locations of the Community College of Vermont, and Vermont Technical College, which has both distance locations and residential campuses. UVM
so Jane,
is separate. Yeah, go
there?
Ahead.
Just
go ahead. This is Chancellor Jeb Spaulding.
Yep, in terms of Northern Vermont University, they do have two campuses,
that's right,
physical and online as well. So there's NVU online. And Vermont Tech, of course, the campus that a lot of middle-aged and elderly Vermonters would think of is in Randolph Center, and that's great. But we also have
aging Vermont here? You're dividing us by age.
We also have a campus in Williston. And they do,
that's
as
right.
You mentioned, deliver some things electronically. But so they've got two residential campuses. There's not much residential in Williston.
In Williston. Yes, yeah, so Randolph Center is the one that, yes, as you said, people think of as sort of where Vermont Technical College is.
But as with most things, a lot of the growth is in Chittenden County.
Yeah. So as I said,
for better or worse,
that's Chancellor Jeb Spaulding of the state college system. And we're also talking with Joyce Judy, who's president of the Community College of Vermont. And we're hearing from some of you who have thoughts on what Vermont needs to do to make sure that the state college system is strong and stable and available. I mean, its charge is to make sure that higher education is available, affordable, and good for the students coming out of Vermont schools. Mark writes in to say, I will be dismayed if in the coming years Vermont state colleges are no longer a viable choice for my children to attend for a four-year degree. We are not a family of millionaires. Tuition and costs to attend the state colleges are affordable, so our kids can graduate with little or no debt. Graduating without tens of thousands of dollars of debt is a huge leg up for young adults. It gives them flexibility in job prospects and other life choices. While VSC may not be, quote, affordable for everyone, they certainly are for us, and to lose it as a viable option would really harm many kids and families, ours included. So Mark worried about the future there. Lori writes in, though, to say, just like everything else in Vermont, you need to make it affordable. It's not that graduates don't want to go, it's that they can't afford it. So, you know, what about that, Chancellor Spaulding? Because as you talked about earlier, the state appropriation for the state college system is very, very low, among the lowest in the country. And the appropriation was something like $28 million a year. You asked the legislature to almost double that, to add $25 million a year. They gave you 10% of that. So right. Is it a viable future to keep tuition costs
low? Well, first
low?
Of all, let me just take the Mark's question. The Vermont State College's system is not going anywhere. We have a commitment and ability to make sure that we can continue to provide a high-quality education in various locations around the state. So I can assure you—
I don't think
you,
he means if it's gone. Okay. He means if it's gone out of his price range.
Right. Well, we're trying to do everything we can to keep the prices down. But as you mentioned, with the state support as low as it is, the converse is the tuition's the highest. So it's not just Vermont. New Hampshire's the same. And we're in a class of our own in this country. We are doing everything we can to keep those costs down. And part of that is with the centralization of some of the administrative functions and accounting functions that really have no touch with students, and looking for ways to continue to grow our online programs and newer short credentials. Again, Vermont Tech and CCV have employer partnerships. So there's one that just getting started this year with Global Foundries, where Global Foundries will be hiring students right out of high school, having Vermont Tech deliver the education and pay for it for those students. So they'll be actually working and getting their education paid for. So, you know, that's a creative way to lower costs. I have to at least get in a plug for the state's early college program, which allows seniors in high school to combine their first year of college and their last year of high school, thereby reducing the cost of tuition for an associate's degree by 50% and a bachelor's for 25%. So as far as the second, you know, letter there or the comments, affordability is an issue. There's no doubt about it. CCV has the lowest tuition by far in the state of Vermont. Our other colleges have been significantly increasing their scholarship assistance to try to help it make become more affordable for Vermonters. And we want to make sure that nobody thinks that, gee, I can't afford to go to college. You may have to like be a little bit creative, start planning in advance, maybe take advantage of what Joyce mentioned of take a year or two at CCV and then go on. So, you know, affordability is an issue, but it's one that we're paying a lot of attention to.
Well, sure. But for some Vermont students, especially if you can get a scholarship or if you can get a better financial aid package than the in-state tuition would be in Vermont, the state college system is not either the most appealing or the most affordable. You know, if our students, if we know we have 25% fewer students graduating from high school now than we did a decade ago, and that number is going to continue to go down, doesn't the state college system need to be attracting those Vermont students? Because, you know, how can you say sustainable if there are better deals, both in terms of, you know, the programs you want and how much it's going to cost you out of state?
Right. We have to – that's part of what this white paper is laying out. The second challenge besides demographics is pricing support. This relates to or is related to low state support. But we've already said in this program we can't rely on the state to significantly increase funding on an annual basis. So
could you lay out a scenario where you said to the state government – look, if you want state colleges, you have to double this because we are not going to be on stable financial footing. We can't update our infrastructure. We can't attract good professors, and we're not attracting good students. So if you don't double it, you are going to have a second-rate state college system. Because, you know, frequently when we've talked to you over the years, you have said both, we need to increase the support, but also here's what we're going to do if we don't increase the support. I mean, is there a point at which you say, this is not going to work unless you double the state funding?
So, I think that's a possibility. It may come out of this white paper. You know, at the moment, we're not going to say no to any suggestions that are made. I want to really emphasize that. You know, sometimes I have a tendency to say, we already thought of that. That's not what we're doing at this stage of the game. We're soliciting all ideas. And, you know, the pricing issue is a real one. You know, increasingly we do find students that can go to out-of-state private colleges less expensively than their state public colleges. That's wrong. It's bad for the state. It's bad for the prospects of those students. But it's also a part of the world that's out there and is undeniable, and we need to find ways to address that.
Let me go to Andy, who's calling in from Brattleboro. Hi, Andy. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to mention one other little aspect that connects both the state system and the private system. Southern Vermont College hosted a program that's found in a couple of other places in the state called College Steps that serves adults with intellectual disabilities in a college environment. It really helped my daughter toward employment goals and just self-esteem and self-actualization. But she was only halfway through the program when Southern Vermont College closed. So the students in that program have had to scramble, and she's now going to be going to Castleton, which is adding, you know, quite a travel from Brattleboro. But it is another aspect of the college system. It may not be known to many people that a program where college students mentor folks with intellectual disabilities and give them that college experience that also leads towards personal growth and actualizing their own dreams and becoming contributing members of society. And that is part of our system. I believe College Steps was started up, I think it was Johnson. I believe it was in another one of the state schools here in Vermont. But it's a great program, and it needs another host campus in southern Vermont because Castleton, as beautiful as it is a long haul from Brattleboro for a day student. So I just wanted to mention that aspect. It's a great program. It's been sort of a partnership between the state of Vermont system and Southern Vermont College, and it's a great program, and it could serve other people as well. And it's another small group of students that are benefiting from a college experience. So,
Andy, thank you for that. And I'm glad to hear that your daughter has found a new school to go to. We've been following the path of students trying to figure out what to do next from these three schools that have closed. And Castleton has been taking many of those students. I'm glad your daughter will be able to go there, although it certainly is quite a drive. And that's been one of the things that the state college system has to think about, is being in every community or near enough to every community that students can be residential. They can stay in their own homes if they want to, that there are a lot of options out there. So I appreciate, Andy, both talking about that difference in travel time, but also the STEPS program and what that's meant for his daughter. Let's get a question in here as well from Peter, who's in Moortown. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Go right ahead.
I'm wondering why we're not talking about creating a tax base that pays in so that all of us can access college tuition free. I see that as being a solution to the access issue where everyone will be able to access because their family would have already paid in. And I also think we might be able to convince some of our middle and upper income families to send their students to the schools that they're already paying for. So I'd love to hear what your guests have to say about that.
Peter, thanks for the call. So Chancellor Spalding, I know you have thoughts on this, but President Judy, what do you think about this idea?
Well, you know, I think that it's a very interesting idea. And as Jeb said, I think what we have to do is make sure we put all these ideas on the table and look at the cost-benefit analysis of this. I think that, you know, there are many states who have gone to free community college tuition. And I think that's something I hope that Vermont chooses to explore. But I think even more fundamental to that is the idea that it is really important for people to be able to recognize that they have to continue their education beyond high school. And in Vermont, it's a very interesting phenomenon because Vermont enjoys one of the highest high school graduation rates in the country, and yet one of the lowest continuation rates of any state in the country. And when I say continuation rates, I mean whether it's in the military, whether it's an apprenticeship, whether it's going to college. So it's not that college is for everyone, but I think the commitment of continuing your education is critical. And so I think that conversation has to be part of the funding piece, that there has to be the narrative in Vermont, the value of continuing your education is critical. If you look at the jobs that are being created today, the entry-level positions are so much more sophisticated than they were in my generation. And I will say I graduated from high school in the 70s, and many people could get a very good job with a high school education. Today, you are lucky if you can get a good job with a high school education. And so for the majority
of
us—
But is that because those jobs are more sophisticated or because our landscape has changed and employers just won't take somebody with a college degree, in which case you're paying for a title, a word on your resume, not for the skills that you're necessarily gaining?
I think it's both, Jane. I think one, because how many times have you been in a grocery store recently and the front end of the store is half self-checkout?
Right.
The cashiers used to be a great entry-level job, the same way with waitresses, the same way I remember receptionists. Today, so few businesses have a receptionist. People take their own calls. There's caller ID. You do your own email. You do your own scheduling. So what are the – what now are the entry-level jobs? They just require people to have a higher-level skill. So I think that – those jobs have changed, and I think there are fewer of them. So it's just a changing landscape, and how do we keep up with that?
And Chancellor Spalding, to that question of why not create a tax base where Vermonters are paying in, and if you go to school in state, you can do it tuition free through that sort of tax program.
You know, more states are going in that direction. I can find some arguments that are made by some pretty progressive educators that would say if you had that amount of money and you spent it on people that really needed support and help, you'd probably be doing more good. That's actually not my opinion. Mine is like if people knew that they could get a college degree with no tuition, that earlier in life, like in middle school and so forth, parents wouldn't be discouraging their kids about thinking of going on to college or some kind of post-secondary education. So I actually personally happen to support that concept, but it does cost some big dollars. And you know, the governor in particular, I don't mean to be negative, but it's pretty clear the governor has not wanted to increase taxes to support that. And if you talk about diverting some of the education fund or the lotteries proceeds or whatever, you get into another tiff. I do know that the legislature, and particularly the Senate, is seriously considering that idea in some form and may start with a proposal that can be phased in over time. And I'm pretty sure that will be a topic of discussion in the upcoming legislature.
Let's go to Jacqueline in Pomfret. Jacqueline, hi.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to tell about how I went to CCV when I was in my late 30s. My daughter was going off to college, and I wanted to go back to college too. And because CCV was affordable, I was able to take a lot of courses, basic courses, and transfer those seamlessly to Johnson State College, where I was able to get 2 degrees and go on to get a master's degree at another school. So I really love how you can go to CCV and have your inexpensive courses transferred to get your degree at a better school.
Jacqueline,
Go
ahead.
My other comment is I would like to see the state more involved in helping the state colleges and the schools, the different districts, on getting their costs down. I don't understand why the state doesn't take on the responsibility of getting health care for all the teachers in the state, or buying the fuel so that it's low cost for all the schools in the state, or all the supplies, things of that nature.
Yeah,
so
Jacqueline, thanks for that comment. I appreciate it. And certainly we're going to have time, I think, again in this next session to talk about that question of you know, statewide teacher contracts in varying different degrees and departments. But interesting, you think about some of the ways that maybe in some ways we could think about a single school district for some of the things, whether it's K through 12 or higher ed as well. Jacqueline, I appreciate hearing about your experience at CCV. We also got a note from Ray in Vermont. We've been talking about students, and there's a lot in this white paper and a lot to think about in terms of student retention and matriculation and how to make sure that students have access to degree and certificate programs that are important to them and that will get them that job in the future. But Ray also has some thoughts about staff at the state college system, and writes, I know some people working in the system, and I hear from several of them that big cuts in staff, either through layoffs or not replacing people who leave, is pushing more work onto fewer people. The staff ends up feeling they can't do all of their tasks to do their job properly, and morale ends up taking a hit. Some at NVU say the unification between the Lyndon and Johnson campuses has not been a positive thing for their departments, ending up with new bosses who don't know their staff or offices, managing things remotely without understanding the challenges particular to their campus. Jeb Spaulding, what about that? Because certainly as you think about the future, as we think about consolidation or changing the focuses of different campuses, what happens to staff is a big question.
Well, there's no question that we're smaller already, Jane. I mean, we have, you know, roughly 10% fewer employees working for us now than we did 5 years ago. So, you know, it's a reality in the world. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to support our faculty and staff. And as a matter of fact, earlier, I just want to point out, we have great faculty, whether it's at community college or the other campuses. It does get harder to recruit new people if you know, your salary levels aren't what you want them to be, or if there's questions about the viability. But we do have great and dedicated faculty and staff. The way of the world is that we need to find ways to make it more efficient. And sometimes that does mean doing things differently. You know, back in the day, not that long ago, the chancellor had an assistant that did the communications. Now I write my own and do it by email. And that's just, do I like it? I get used to it. And, you know, we're changing our ways of doing things. And sometimes people are hurt. And I think, you know, you can sort of see what the extreme is. If you don't take the kind of evasive action, you can get yourself into a situation where the whole institution's in jeopardy. And we are not going to do that. We're going to ensure that we're not only surviving, but we are thriving, and we want it to be a great place for faculty, staff, and students.
Well, to that end, President Judy, I know that you're taking suggestions. And so the idea is that together the state of Vermont will come up with what the future of the state college system is and looks like. But do you have a vision? I mean, are there campuses in every community in 20 years like there are now?
I certainly hope our focus is on access, and how do we make sure that students, wherever you live in the state of Vermont, have access to higher education. I'll just give a quick example. We started our online program in 1996. It was to create more opportunities for more people to access college. And today, more than a third of our courses are online. Would we have predicted 20 years ago that a third of our courses will be online? So I think student interests, student behavior is what really drives our future thinking. And so I think that I can't predict that, but students will help us decide.
Well, there's a lot to chew over in the white paper. We have a link to it at vpr.org. And as Chancellor Spalding said, this is something that's evolving. So you can check back in and see what's happening as things change. The state college system is looking at how to make sure that it is secure and stable for the future. I want to thank Jeb Spalding, Chancellor of the State College System, and Joyce Judy, President of the Community College of Vermont. She's also a member of the Board of Directors here at VPR for being on the program today. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jane.
Thanks.